Welcome back in. Final hour, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game, live from northern Antarctica here in our studios.
That's a warm part of Antarctica, though.
Yeah, it is.
The northern part.
Yeah, it is.
So Chase wants to kill us.
Yes.
Thanks, Chase.
Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you. And as we do every Monday morning at 8 o'clock, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our good friend Corey Curtis from News 2, as he calls it, and he's right. Appointment listening every Monday morning at 8 o'clock. Corey, good morning. How are you?
Oh, it's a great morning.
That's good. It is a great morning. We appreciate you taking time to be with us. So, Corey, we were talking about the Titans' offensive line, some decisions they have to make this offseason.
Did you guys get sick to your stomach?
Yeah, we kind of did. There's a whole lot that's going on about the Titans' offensive line. What do you think about Nate Davis? As you look at Nate Davis, the way that he's played when he's been on the field, also the injury issues, I know that's shocking to talk about a Titans player with injury issues. How do you think the Titans will and should handle the Nate Davis situation as they move forward? Is he somebody that you're bringing back next season?
My understanding is while he probably should be back, probably won't be back because – the price tag is probably just going to be too high for what you're actually going to get.
So, I get that. Now, of course, Corey, that adds another potential free agent acquisition that you would need to do. I mean, you're certainly going to do work in the draft, but to me, the Titans need to probably think about two offensive line signings in free agency. So, I guess. Depending on who you're going after, I mean, I guess, you know, right, you're paying that money, you just maybe to someone you think is more reliable.
Yeah, and maybe that you get a little bit more out of as far as, you know, work and the type of guy, you know, that you want there. We'll see how that goes. Because you're right, you know, he's you know, you think of the guys that you could bring back. He's one of the guys where you say, well, he's an NFL starter, you know. And, you know, you look at Aaron Brewer, and we all like him, but we all still wonder, is he an NFL starter? We certainly don't have an NFL starter looking there on the left side of the line. We don't know what's going to happen in the middle. And, you know, I think the jury's still out on Petit Frere. I mean, he did okay, but I don't think, you know – look, he wasn't David Stewart. He wasn't Jack Conklin out of the gate. And so we have to see, you know, how that thing develops.
Corey Curtis from News 2 with us here on Robbie and Rex Road. So what's your thoughts on the Taylor Lewan part of this? Because, you know, obviously I think we would all agree he's going to get cut. And there's a whole lot that has to happen. Like, number one, he's got to decide he wants to play football. Number two, the Titans have to decide that they would want him back, albeit on a cheaper deal. Do you think that's something the Titans will consider, should consider? Where do you come down on the Taylor Lewan part of this?
You know, he would have to really be open to a very team-friendly deal. I could not and I like Taylor. I'm not someone who doesn't like Taylor. And I think what he meant to this team before he was hurt to the last 3 years, I think has been greatly underappreciated by a lot of people. He was a lockdown left tackle for a long time. But the fact is he hasn't played for like two of the last 3 years. And you can't go into the season hoping he's healthy. You can't go into the season hoping, you know, he stays healthy when his recent track record says that's not going to be. And by the way, also the last time he came back from ACL surgery, he didn't start great. It was a rough start for him. And so, you know, that all could be dead wrong, and he could go to the Steelers or whatever other fan base is clamoring to get him, and he could lock it down and be tremendous, and I hope he does. But if you're the Titans looking to move forward, the only way you could do that is with a really, really team-friendly deal, in my estimation. And that would be up to him if he would be, you know, willing to do that, because there will be someone willing to give him some money to come and play.
Are you on the Matt Nagy seems to be the leader in the clubhouse bandwagon And either way, whether you are or aren't, what do you think of him? I know as a close Chicago Bears observer, you probably have some Matt Nagy takes.
Well, you know, look, I mean, he had a good start and a terrible finish in Chicago, right? I mean, he was NFL Coach of the Year. And then it just all got really, really weird. I am always leery of offensive coordinators who come from systems where the head coach is the brains behind it, Andy Reid, okay?
Yep.
I mean, that's his offense. It's not Matt Nagy's. There's no question about it. And I'm also leery of coordinators who come from teams with superior quarterback play, okay? Matt Nagy has both. All right, he's got Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes. He better look good. You know, there was a guy named Adam Gase who made a career out of being Peyton Manning's offensive coordinator for a year or two. All right, so you know that's why I'm always leery of that stuff. Does that mean I don't think that Matt Nagy can do it? No, I don't know. I don't know. I mean, he's been around it. I know he's relatively – he was highly thought of enough by Andy Reid for Andy to bring him back, and that says something to me because I respect the heck out of Andy Reid. But I do agree that there's a lot of reason to believe that he or Bieniemy or one of these guys this weekend is under major consideration or the decision would have already been made.
Well, what do you think about the Super Bowl matchup this weekend? Philadelphia and Kansas City, obviously, I mean, you've talked about it, Mahomes and that team just live in the AFC title game, going to their third Super Bowl since Mahomes has taken over as starting quarterback. What do you think of the matchup, and who do you like in this matchup?
Well, it's a good thing you asked because I am a genius, and I do know virtually everything.
You do.
Look, this is what it comes down to me, and believe me, I love Andy Reid, and I love you know, Patrick Mahomes. The Eagles have the best offensive line in football, and the Eagles can disrupt the passer. When Mahomes and the Chiefs played the Bucs in the Super Bowl, what happened? The Bucs had a superior offensive line, and the Bucs could disrupt the passer, and they beat the heck out of Mahomes. So, unfortunately for Kansas City, I can see almost a duplicate of that Super Bowl. And I think that the Eagles will handle business because of their ability to block up front and get after Mahomes. And Mahomes doesn't have the weapons that he had back then either.
Yeah, no, I think that's certainly possible. Obviously, the Chiefs were also bad up front. The Bucs were fantastic, but you know, a couple of years ago, Mahomes had he couldn't even set
now,
up.
But this is I mean, where the Eagles have like 70 sacks this year.
Yeah,
I mean they're better.
Yes, yes. I want to go back quickly on free agency with you, Corey. Another thing we've talked about today: T. Higgins. How good do you think T. Higgins is away from Ja'Marr Chase and all that, all the weapons in that offense? Just if he were. You know, I mean, I think he wants to be out there and say, I'm a number one receiver, and he wants to be paid as such. Should he be paid as such? How good do you think he is? Should the Titans get in on him?
You know, I guess it depends on what the price is. T. Higgins is a really good player, and he's big and he's physical, so he kind of matches what the Titans like and what their kind of identity is. And just go back to this season when Ja'Marr Chase was down. You know, T. Higgins was putting up numbers just like he always has. It didn't slow him down, right? I mean, you didn't have Ja'Marr Chase go out and teams say, okay, we're going to double T. Higgins now, and all of a sudden T. Higgins disappears. T. Higgins was still a factor. He's going to get paid by somebody. And again, it's where's your cap? How much could you afford? You know, because you've got other issues. You've got other issues. But there's no doubt in my mind that T. Higgins makes the Tennessee Titans a better football team.
No question about it. Corey Curtis from News 2 makes us a better radio program every Monday morning at 8 o'clock here on the show.
Thank
Corey?
God, you guys need the help.
No,
my
we
gosh.
Do. There's no question fair, about it. Fair it's point. Fair criticism. Corey, appreciate
can
you
I
as
ask
always.
A question
go ahead.
Before I go, because, you know, it's a new era, and you're a whippersnapper, and Joe and I are old as dirt. and you know, Joe and I, you know, are from an era where you hang with your teams. And you're from an era where people hang with players and they follow LeBron from team to team. So will you follow Aaron Rodgers to the Raiders?
No.
Or will you stick with the moldy cheese?
I'm sticking with the moldy cheese. Jordan Love will be my guy.
Nice. I like. See, there you go. See, he's an old soul.
Yeah, right. Matt LaFleur is a different story, but Jordan Love will be my guy.
You'll root against him wherever he coaches.
Yes. LaFleur.
Corey, thank you as always. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, guys.
All right, Corey Curtis from News 2, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. We'll take your thoughts on the Titans, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. More on that coming up next. Let me tell you about my friends at FanDuel Sportsbook. Football fans, FanDuel has a perfect way for everyone to get in on Super Bowl 57 action with a no-sweat same-game parlay. That means everyone gets bonus bets back if your Super Bowl same-game parlay doesn't hit. And it doesn't matter if you're new to FanDuel or already have an account. Same-game parlays let you combine all your favorite bets for a chance at a bigger payday. So start building your own or just bet a popular same-game parlay that's already made for you in America's number one sportsbook. We just talked about the Super Bowl matchup. I'm going with Philadelphia. And I'm going with Jalen Hurts as an anytime touchdown scorer rushing the football. But you can take it any way you want to take it. If you're new to FanDuel, sign up with promo code ROB when you download the app. Either way, you'll get bonus bets back if your no-sweat same-game parlay doesn't hit. Make every moment more with FanDuel, official sportsbook partner of the NFL. Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. 3+ legs, minimum $1 bet required. Refund issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets, which expire 7 days after receipt. A max bonus of $5 unless otherwise specified. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Got a gambling problem? Call the Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-889-9789. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Monday morning. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by Superbook. We are live from our 1025 The Game studio, brought to you by Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. Thanks to Corey Curtis from News 2 for joining us in the last segment. It is another edition of Love Week this week here on the program, and we have a gift card to give away to a Moments Peace Day Salon and Day Spa in Cool Springs, a $100 gift card, and your chance to be qualified for a chance to win a $1,000 Genesis Diamonds gift card as well. We're going to do it the same way we did it last week. Hit up our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Again, that is our text line. And today's question is for those who are married. When did you know your significant other was the one? Michelle Knezovic will be our judge once again this week. Hit up your best story on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. If Michelle likes it enough, you will be the winner today. So appreciate
Pull
that.
Pull at some heartstrings, guys, Pull at some this heartstrings. Morning.
It's Love Week here on the program. And again, it's brought to you by a Moments Peace Day Salon and Day Spa in Cool Springs. You'll win a $100 gift card to a Moments Peace Day Salon and Day Spa and be qualified for a chance to win a $1,000 Genesis Diamonds gift card.
But if it's funny, that's cool still, too.
Yeah, that
this,
also works.
This seems like it would be a little bit more of a sentimental answer. But could be both. Know. Yeah.
Could but be both. Also, maybe you saw your now wife housing some chicken wings, and that's when you knew.
Could
that's
be.
When you knew she was the one.
Could be both together. Sure. Yeah. We'll see what happens on that front. Looking forward to seeing your responses on that front. Joe, as we prepare to battle through here on the program in what is frigid air conditions here in the studio.
My legs hurt. Luckily, I'm wrapped up here, you know, like I'm in the, you know, the North Pole or South Pole or whatever. But like it's so cold, my legs hurt. So again, Chase.
Thank you, Chase.
Right. I mean, you know, what else can you do to us, Chase? You cut us down by an hour.
We're on the
trying to kill. What else are we going to do here? Are my brakes going to work when I go when I leave today?
We're on the air for 20 minutes. Chase, trying to freeze us out of here. Love it.
How short can we make the show so you'll stop trying to kill us, Chase?
615-737-1025. I mean, look, I brought this up earlier with the Tale of the Wand discussion. There are a lot of people that just don't really seem to have an appetite for bringing Tale of the Wand back as an option at left tackle, which I get it. I do. I understand it if you think that way. I'm just saying I wonder if it's that clear of an answer for the Titans, like their point of view on this. That's really, at the end of the day, what matters.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, it's interesting even listening to Corey Curtis and then, you know, what Jim Wyatt said about Nate Davis. And like I said earlier on the show, I mean, if it's that cut and dried, then it's like, okay, is Vrabel not a fan of Nate Davis? And look, sometimes that could be. I mean, there's injuries and then, you know, there's a lot that can go into that. LaJuan is the biggest personality in any room he's in. He isn't necessarily – you know, part of like the leadership group of the Titans. There's a little bit of a court jester element there, but still a hell of a competitor, heck of a player. So how much do you value that if you can? I just, to me, man, that's such an important position, and he is an athletic technician who plays it well. If he's healthy, I think there's a decent chance, you know, that the second knee surgery would work. Then the bigger if is if he wants to play.
Well, and regardless of if he wants to play or not, and if that's something the Titans are interested in, I mean, there's a whole lot that they got to do this offseason. You know, Adam Strunk has talked about tough decisions that have to be made. Decisions that aren't going to be so tough is you gotta address the offensive line, like, in a major way. And I do wonder, like, when free agency comes around, particularly with guards, let's say you're looking for two guards out there, how aggressive are you going to be in free agency when it comes to addressing your offensive line? You got to at least one move, I think, in my opinion, has to be made via free agency, maybe two, and then you can kind of supplement in the draft from there. Like a left tackle, like I think you're probably going to have to find your left tackle in the draft, would be my guess, unless you just want to go pay big money. But, I mean, if they stay at 11, not knowing how the draft board is going to fall, I mean, a left tackle there makes a lot of sense, but then there's the wide receiver part of this too. How do you fix the wide receiving core this offseason? Because we've talked about the free agent pool and what that looks like. You know, I don't think that people are as high on the draft at wide receiver either. It's not a great year, honestly, to be needing a lot of wide receivers, and the Titans find themselves needing a few wide receivers this offseason, in my opinion. So
yeah,
that's a long way of saying there's a ton to do this offseason, a lot of decisions to be made.
Right. I mean, unless you can make that trade, get T. Higgins on the I'm trying to think who's the best left tackle free agent. I guess Orlando Brown.
Yeah. Okay.
So who's about to play in the Super Bowl?
He got tagged last year by Kansas City. So what does that
could
look like
get
now?
Tagged again?
He could be a heck of a cap hit.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean that, but there are. I mean, look the. Free agent crop, just in general, the offensive line is better than receiver, without question. So it could be that they look. If you go sign someone, then I think the draft, if you're just staying at 11, looks a lot more likely to be a receiver. You know, unless you can trade out, who knows? Then you could also go get your quarterback too. But of course, the decisions in free agency are made first, and I do wonder how active they will be looking for that position. I think no doubt interior they will be looking at that in free agency. And, of course, that's a lot less of a cap hit.
I've heard some people say that they would rather free agency begin after the draft than they would before the draft. What do you think of all that? Like, would you rather see NFL free agency happen after the draft takes place, or are you cool with it being where it is?
I'm cool with it being where it is. You know, if you did that, the NFL might actually have a couple weeks of the year where they don't dominate the news cycle.
Maybe that's why people wanted to do that.
Well, I will say that free agency, to me, gets a little bit lost compared to what it could be because of the NCAA tournament. That's me. That's not everybody. But I'm very wrapped up in hoops, you know, at that point.
Oh, we know.
Yeah. Now, it doesn't mean that those headlines go higher than the NFL free agency headlines, but it is a little bit of a busy time. You could shift around a little bit, but no. As far as like the operations of teams and whatever, I'm just used to that. Like, you have free agency, and then you do your draft.
What? Didn't Brady come back last? Didn't he unretire last year on like Selection Sunday? I think
oh,
he did.
Did, didn't he?
Yeah. He just totally ruined it
what
for
a
you,
jerk. I totally forgot about that.
Maybe that's his plan this year. Selection Sunday is not that far away.
Yeah, maybe he'll do it right in the middle of like the national championship game or something like that. He could even go a little higher. First day of games.
Yeah.
One of the great days in all sports. No, but why do people want to put the free agency after the draft? What's the reasoning?
Well, I think just so like you can draft and then you know exactly like, okay, we didn't get such and such in the draft and didn't fill this position, so we know exactly what it is we're going for. But I mean, to me, like, you know what your offseason plan anyways. Like, I don't think it's a big secret right now that the Titans need offensive linemen and wide receiver help. So right. You can address that in both.
Yeah, like in one thing or the other, you're going to fill some needs. You probably aren't going to get everything done. And so then you do it in the other one.
Right.
So, no, I think it's probably good how it is. They can steal some thunder from college basketball.
Well, and that's also how, I mean, free agency started. You know, quarterbacks make some decisions. As we know, there can be some draft day trades that take place, like we saw last year here with the Tennessee Titans. Like, I think we could see some draft day trades this year, too. It could be fun.
Yeah.
Maybe with a certain quarterback in Green Bay. We'll see. Although, I feel like that probably needs to be figured out before the draft.
Yeah, I would think so, right?
You would think. And a lot of momentum to the Raiders. A lot of it.
I mean, hey, man, it'd be fun. It may not be fun for you, but it would be fun in general in the NFL if he's back throwing the ball to Davante Adams.
Yeah.
With Waller, that could be fun.
Dennis on the text line says, what are your feelings on Haskins? Should the Titans be looking for a running back mid-round? This from Dennis on the text line.
You know, I don't have a great feeling on Haskins. I do think that just from my naked eye watching him from camp all the way through, I mean, I think he and Julius Chestnut are very – like, there's not a big gap there. The difference in those guys is that Haskins – the Titans use a draft pick on Haskins. I think he's fine. I think he's a fine player. I think instead of using a mid-round pick, I would re-sign Dontrell Hilliard because I think Dontrell Hilliard could be even more than just a third down back if you wanted to use him that way. I guess like Deontay Foreman – kind of amazing to me, just sitting around 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Good player. And so, I don't know. I mean, Haskins, you've drafted him. He'll be around. I think that'll keep him here. I just, man, when you talk about using mid-round picks on that, it's like
you got so many other things.
Yeah, you just have so many things to address. I feel like you need to draft like three or four offensive linemen and just play the odds and hope that a couple work out for you.
Michelle, do we have a Love Week winner? A lot of interesting text on the text line so far.
Yeah. Yes, some unreadable ones.
We do have a Love Week winner. John is our winner, and I'll read his little response of how he fell in love with his wife. He said, nothing cute, rather gross maybe, but we were both on active duty Marines when we met, and I had just gotten out of the field, so my stomach was in shambles from the terrible food they provided, so I let one rip in her kitchen on accident. She acted like it didn't even happen and continued with her conversation we were having, and I was like, well, if she can look past my obvious gas, then she has to be the one. So John is our winner today.
Well done, John. You've won a $100 gift card to a Moments Peace Day Salon and Day Spa in Cool Springs and are qualified for a chance to win a $1,000 Genesis Diamonds gift card as well. We'll continue with our Love Week submissions throughout the week here on Robbie and Rex Road.
The sweet scent of love. So does she continue? I need to know, does she still like just ignore that stuff? Or like, did she get the one-time thing calling you out?
The funny thing is there are a couple that are in relation to that, like a couple same scenarios. So, but his was... I like John's the best, so.
There we go.
We love it, John.
We do love it. We'll have more Love Week later this week. Coming up next, we'll be joined by John Glennon from NHL.com. We'll get his thoughts on the Predators as they resume action coming up tomorrow night against the Vegas Golden Knights. That's next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Monday morning. And we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And welcome in our good friend John Glennon from NHL.com. John, good morning. How are you?
I am well. How are you guys?
We are good. Appreciate you taking time to be with us. So, John, Preds back at it tomorrow off the bye week / all-star break, taking on Vegas. And the push for the playoffs begins as they host the Golden Knights tomorrow. What do you make of what you've seen from the Predators to this point? And I guess your outlook for them as they try to make the playoff push in the unofficial second half of the season.
Yeah, you know, they've got some work ahead of them, clearly. They dug a little bit of a hole, for themselves so far, and they've got some ground to make up. But, you know, I really kind of like where things left off for this team. You know, I mean, you could certainly make an argument that the break didn't come at a great time for the Nashville Predators because they were playing the last three games, you know, probably three of their best games of the year. You know, when you look at what they did and kind of come from behind wins over L.A., over Winnipeg, over the Devils as well, you know, three very good quality teams. I didn't think those were fluke wins by any stretch. I didn't think they were holding on. You know, I didn't think UC Saros carried them in any of those games. So I think they're playing well right now. I think the only question is, you know, do we see that same team come out tomorrow night? Are they able to bottle what they had in those last three games? You know, if you can do that, you know, you certainly increase your chances going down the stretch.
Well, John, I mean, I guess I agree with you. They played well, and they looked, I guess, more like the team we thought they'd be this year. But obviously, you know, you have this meeting and all the conversation of the meeting and some guys who have not been performing who then kind of kick into gear. I guess my question is, do you feel like it's sustainable? Some of those guys were good all year last season, but they're also getting older. I mean, do you feel like what they're doing is a sustainable thing, or is this going to end up being a fleeting, you know, burst of intensity because they kind of had this frank meeting, but it's not really sustainable because they just aren't good enough? That's kind of my question right now.
Yeah, and I think what's interesting too is we get a real test right away as well tomorrow night. That's a big game coming, you know, right out of the break. When you start looking at teams above the Predators and who are you going to catch? Maybe, you know, Vegas to me is a team that looks pretty shaky right now. They're going to come into Nashville having lost four straight. I think they've only scored five goals in those last four games, and they've lost 7 of 8. So immediately you get a test. You beat Vegas tomorrow, you're within 6 points, and you got three games in hand on Vegas. So, yeah, that's an immediate test. But, yeah, I agree with you that is the big question. How sustainable is this? Because what the Predators need, you know, going down the stretch is not just for guys like Forsberg and Duchesne and Yossi to be good. They need them to be great. They need to be at last year's level. And maybe, you know, when you start seeing that finish line, you know, it's still obviously, you know, a couple months or several weeks away, but maybe, you know, that provides that extra dose of adrenaline, that extra dose of motivation. When you see that finish line and you realize we really got to pick things up, maybe that's when the points really start to kick in, because you're right. You know, when you look at points right now, you know, just going over it this morning, you know, Philip Forsberg is the top points guy on this Predators team, and he sits around 80th in the league in terms of points. You know, and Duchesne's a little bit behind him. So those guys need not only be good, they need to be great for the next several weeks.
John Glennon with us here on Robbie and Rex Road. So, John, what do you think the approach should be from David Poile as the trade deadline approaches here, now less than a month away from that? And how much do you think where the Predators sit in the standings? Because if you look at it, they're probably not going to be in a much different spot than they are right now. They may be a few points in. They may be a few points out. How do you handle that if you're David Poile once March the 3rd comes around?
Yeah, you know, assuming that the Predators, you know, don't really go into a tumble here in the next several weeks, I agree with you. I think they're probably going to be in a similar spot right around, you know, the playoff break there. And I think in general that what we've seen from David Poile in those situations is, you know, maybe make a pickup, not a giant pickup, not a mortgage the future, not a give up a first or a second round draft pick kind of a deal, but maybe somebody who could bolster a line, you know, maybe if it's a bottom six player, or maybe if it's another defenseman for depth, that kind of thing, but something where you don't have to give up too much. I think, you know, we're starting to see signs that the Predators' prospects, you know, that the pipeline is starting to look a little bit better. Joe, I know, you know, the Athletic had the ranking recently, had the Predators number 10 there in terms of prospect ranking, and we're starting to see that, you know, production from some of those players moving into the Nashville system as well. And I don't think you want to give up too much of that when you're a team that may or may not make the playoffs at this point.
So, like a depth pickup, say, like at a low cost, like say a Jeremy Lauzon, for example. Is that the idea? Yeah,
well,
no big cost.
You know, I mean, honestly, you know, it's someone similar to that. Yeah, I don't think you're looking really at a top six necessarily. You know, unless you can get some kind of a a really good deal there. I just don't see taking too much of a risk based on where you are right now.
Ellie Tolvanen. You know, I continue to contend. You know, things will regress, and you know he'll basically be what he was here. I just, you know, I think terrific shot, limitations otherwise, but he is red hot, and as he continues to score, you know, Preds fans continue to talk about it, which I don't blame them at all. How do you view him so far, and what do you expect moving forward?
Yeah, it's hard to complain, it's easy to complain, I should say, if you're a Nashville Predators fan, because certainly this was a guy who came into the organization, you know, with all kinds of expectations, not only a first-round draft pick, but of how well he had been playing, you know, in Russia, previous to coming here years ago. I will say that I thought that the Nashville Predators gave him ample opportunity. I did think they gave him chances in numerous different lines, combinations, you know, styles. And I know I've seen an interview or two with Tolvanen where he said, you know, sometimes they wanted me to be scoring goals. Sometimes they wanted to be more of a checking guy. And that he felt maybe that his role wasn't clear. Well, I guarantee you this, if Ellie Tolvanen had been scoring goals and producing, he wouldn't have been in a checking role, that's for sure. And they gave him, you know, opportunity to score goals. It just wasn't happening here. I think it's only natural to wonder when all of a sudden he goes to Seattle and all of a sudden he's cranking up, tremendous production in his first, 15 games or so there, why wasn't it happening here? And it goes back, you know, you start thinking of a guy like a Kevin Fiala years ago who went through sort of a similar situation here. You know, I mean, he was somewhat productive, certainly, but didn't live up to expectations. And again, they gave him all kinds of chances, all kinds of opportunities. It just wasn't happening. And then since he's moved on, certainly in terms of offense anyway, he's become, you know, a much better player. Difference being between those two examples, at least you got something for Kevin Fiala, where, you know, Ellie Tolvanen obviously was claimed on waivers. So, yeah, I think we have to wait and see a bigger picture. But, you know, as it stands right now, yeah, I think you have to be disappointed in terms of what happened here, because the guy who, you know, apparently has more potential and production than what he showed here is illustrating that now in Seattle.
John, what do you make of the picture for the Predators right now on the blue line? You picked up McDonough this past offseason. Obviously, there's a heavy cap hit and term that comes with that. You've already signed Josi and Ekholm, and both Carrier and Fabro are going to need a new contract after this year. And my guess is, if you keep things the way they are right now, one of those two guys, and probably Fabro, are going to be a third pairing defenseman. That's a lot of money to be paying a third pairing defenseman. So what do you make of kind of the current setup for the Predators on defense, and maybe what could happen, whether it's at the trade deadline, whether it's at the summer or during the summer, when David Poile has to take a look at that and decide what exactly he wants that to look like as they move forward here?
Yeah, I agree with you that sort of looked like that for a while. With, you know, there's probably going to be a case of either or for Carrier or Fabro, and from the looks of it, you know, that there certainly seems to be a sense that the Predators maybe think there's more potential, more of an upside in Carrier than they do in Fabro at this point. And certainly there has to be some level of disappointment in Fabro, because you're looking at a first round pick who's maybe playing below the level of what they expected. So, yeah, you know, it certainly wouldn't shock me, you know, if it's I don't think it would be at the trade deadline, but, you know, perhaps something in the off season where he or Carrier, my guess would be Fabro, gets moved, because, yeah, you're looking at, not only do you need a new contract for those guys, but you're looking at some other RFAs too. You know, Tanner Janot,
yep,
is an RFA. Cody Glass is an RFA as well. So you're going to have to come up with some money for some players and some signings. You can't do all of them. And then there's some, you know, we have seen some guys come up from Milwaukee, and play some decent minutes. And there appear to be some decent prospects moving up. So certainly, yeah, I would see some movement on that defensive front.
John Glennon from NHL.com, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. Johnny, great stuff as always. Thanks for being with us, and we'll talk to you soon.
Sounds good. Appreciate it, guys.
Absolutely. John Glennon from NHL.com, our guest. 615-737-1025. We'll take your thoughts on the Preds. 615-737-1025. More on that coming up next. But first, Joe, Rex Road has a word from our friends at FanDuel Sportsbook.
Yes, because football fans, FanDuel has the perfect way for everyone to get in on Super Bowl 57 with a no-sweat same-game parlay. That means everyone gets bonus bets back if your Super Bowl same-game parlay does not hit. Doesn't matter if you're new or if you have an account already. Of course, if you don't know about same-game parlays, you can combine bets for a chance at a bigger payday, and you can build your own, or you can bet a popular same-game parlay made for you in America's number one sportsbook. If I'm looking at the Super Bowl here, my parlay right now doesn't have a winner because I don't know. But you know what? I think over on the Jalen Hurts rushing yards, over on the Mahomes passing yards, I envision the Chiefs in comeback mode in the fourth quarter. I'm just not sure yet if they're going to finish it off. But there's two of three for a parlay. Of course, you can do all kinds of different things. And if you're new, you sign up promo code Joe102 when you download the app. Either way, you're going to get those bonus bets back if your no-sweat same-game parlay does not hit. Make every moment more with FanDuel, official sportsbook partner of the NFL. And, of course, you have to be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. 3-plus legs, minimum dollar bet required, refund issued, is now withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Max bonus $5, less otherwise specified. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call the Tennessee Red Line, 800-889-9789.
Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, the game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you. Hey, Preds fans, if you want to win tickets in our lower bowl section 102, text the keyword Superbook, all one word. Once again, that's Superbook, all one word, to the game text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, and you'll be entered for a chance to win. Win with 1025, 1063, the game. And you can win with Superbook as well. Also, make sure you're tuning in to Smashville Live this Wednesday night at 6 o'clock. Brought to you by Spring Hill Heating and Cooling, Little Harpeth Beer, and Superbook Sports. Taking your thoughts on the Preds. I got a texter that says if the Preds can get into the playoffs and avoid Colorado or Edmonton in the first round, then they have a chance to win a round. I guess talking about McDavid and Draisaitl taking over, and then there's Colorado. I think Colorado, look, Colorado's going to get in. I don't
but
know
who knows
they're
where.
Win the division. Yeah, who knows where? Like, first off, can you imagine like winning a division and then Colorado's like the wild card team you have to play? It's like, oh, great. Thanks.
Yeah.
Appreciate that.
Yeah, it sounds great.
Yeah, it sounds like a lot of fun. So we'll see what happens on that front. There's one thing that John brought up that, you know, we talk about the future all the time from this group. But I do wonder, like, from a contractual standpoint, if you're the Predators sitting here making decisions, you have Trennan that you have to figure out long-term. You have Tanner Jeannot, whose contract is up after this year. You know, we've talked about the Fabro-Carrier stuff a lot. But you also look down to the pipeline, and you don't want to restrict guys maybe from some upward mobility there either in coming up. Like, Tomasino is one guy. But, I mean, Luke Evangelista, who we talked about a lot last year, who was, over 100-point player in juniors, I mean, he leads the Admirals in scoring right now. He's got 34 points, 42 games. It's his first year of pro hockey, and he's playing really well. He's the AHL All-Star over the weekend. I mean, at some point, I think in the not-too-distant future, he's going to be ready, and he's going to be ready to play for you. So you also, when you're figuring out Glass and Jeannot and all these different guys, you have to find ways to leave room for those guys too, and Tomasino and Evangelista, maybe at some point, Afanasyev's a part of that discussion too. And you look at the roster right now, I mean, you don't really have room for all those guys yet. So how do you create room for those guys if you're David Poile? That's another thing you got to think about this offseason, is to get some room for those guys to come up.
There's a guy named Philip Tomasino who's also there, by the way.
Yeah, him too.
Yeah, it's interesting. And I look at prospects like Camel and Evangelista. I'd also wonder, like, are they – I mean, I feel like John Hines is very much in favor of, you know, big physical teams, right? Like, how do they fit into how he likes to play? And also, are any of these guys – I feel like there's a lot of players who have a chance to be good. Is there any way to parlay some of this into someone who is great? It's, you know, that's the whole thing in this league, right? Can you get some more great players? I mean, I think they have – I think it's fair to say they have two. I mean, I would count Saros and Yossi.
I would agree.
Can they get a great forward? How do you do that? Or, you know, if you have a lot of good young players, that's not the like the worst thing in the world.
No, I mean, you're hoping maybe Kimmel turns into that. Maybe Evangelista is a really good player. But to your point, like, I don't think Evangelista is going to be like an elite player.
80-point player?
I don't think.
Yeah.
Now, he's pretty darn good.
Yeah, I mean, he's fun. Yeah, I mean, watching the highlights, he's got some juice.
But that's what it goes back. Everything eventually circles back to the contracts you've already handed out. And that's why it makes it so hard, right? Because it's the hard cap in the NHL, and you got to figure out a way to maneuver that. I mean, the more and more I think about that, though, that's why I would just be, even if they're in a playoff spot, I'd be surprised if David Poile makes any move of consequence in terms of buying at the deadline. It's just at some point when you're mapping things out, like you run out of room to do that stuff.
And I feel like he's sort of, you know, the conversation with Chase and we had a conversation with Paul Skirbina of the Tennessean too. I feel like he's kind of hinted at that,
yep.
You know, like a big buys. I mean, you know, keeping the options open, but yeah, I'd be very surprised by that.
Well, I saw some Predators fans that wanted to get in on the Bo Horvat stuff,
yeah.
Right? So Bo Horvat, really good player, gets traded from Vancouver to the Islanders. And yesterday the Islanders signed him to
an
8-year deal. Like, I understand, like, he's a good player. But, like, do you want to add another 8-year deal to this right now? Like,
you can't.
Eventually you have to, right? I mean, they just did with Forsberg. Like, there are guys that come along where if you want to keep your good players, you got to sign them an 8-year deal. Like,
you need some others to expire, though.
But you need some others to expire. That's the thing. So, I mean, you're in a spot right now, or even next year looking at free agency. Like, how much are you really going to be able to do based on the way your roster is currently constructed?
Unless
I don't know.
Yeah.
Make some moves.
Buying somebody out is a possibility. Yeah, and you know, some of those are obviously, it's not a ton of time on all those deals, but Josi Forsberg, obviously, you are with them for many, many years. Unless, I guess you could trade one of them if you really are rebuilding at some point. Is there anybody out there who's signing up for, I could see Josi.
Yep.
Somebody be interested in all those years of Josi at 9.059?
Well, yeah, they would be interested in him, but you'd have to get him to move the contract, which I don't.
And there's that, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think he would do that.
But if it's looking like, oh, God, here come three barren years here,
yeah.
And this team, actually, I'm the last piece in the cup. Yeah. But the problem is when you talk about that stuff, those teams also are close, too. There's just no one out there in this league who's like, oh, tons of cap space. Who's good? Who's competitive?
Yeah. Gentry on the text line says, no significant moves at the deadline. And Robbie, no more talk about Poile in the summer, please. Nothing from a near or far-sighted historical perspective suggests that they can do anything in the playoffs and likely won't be even a playoff team. 10 of 16 games in March are on the road and likely won't be favored in a single of 8 APRG, I guess, games is what he's trying to say there. Explain to me logically how they even get into the tourney. I mean, the math would suggest that they're not going to. Now, that's the math.
They're less likely than not to.
Yes.
Yes.
Nailed it.
That doesn't mean it's impossible.
Well,
if they play like they did that last week, they'll win some of those games.
Well, there's two teams that I look at when you look at the standings. Number one, in your own division, like Minnesota. Like, you've got, I think, a team that is good. I don't think Minnesota's great. But right now, they're in the third spot, and you're 3 points back. Like, Colorado, to me, as they get healthier, is going to jump up, and they're going to move up in the standings. So I'm looking at Minnesota. And I'm looking at the team that's coming in here tomorrow night in Vegas who has a big injury with Mark Stone. And when he's not out there, they're just not the same team. And this is kind of what happened to Vegas last year. They started off great, and then they got banged up, severely banged up, and it cost them the playoffs coming down the stretch. If you win tomorrow, as John said, all of a sudden you are, especially if you get it done in regulation, you're 3 points back of Vegas. And you got three games in hand on them. Like, those are the two teams, if you're chasing down a playoff spot, that I'm really kind of keyed in on if I'm the Predators, is Minnesota and Vegas.
Makes sense. Yeah, because Colorado, they're going to go on a run.
Yes.
So, yeah, they're going to be just a real nasty draw for somebody who should not have to play them.
Matthew from Jolton in all capital letters, tank for Bedard.
No,
that ship sailed.
Bleep the bed for Bedard. Yes. But, yeah, I mean, not going to happen.
The Blackhawks are 15, 29, and 4. And the Blue Jackets are 15-32-4. Not going to catch those guys in the tanking race. That doesn't mean they'll get them, but I'm just saying.
Well done. And, you know, let's not overlook the Coyotes and Ducks, both also in the 30s in points. There's some real competition
real
this year.
Doozies out there. That's going to do it for us today here on Robbie and Rexrope. We'll be back at 6 a.m. tomorrow. Jason Michelle up next. This is 102.5, 106.3, The Game.